With that, let's go to the book of Galatians, where we'll pick up where we left off last week. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 4. Again, I will be reading out of my NASB translation Bible. Please follow along with me, and I will also have the words up here on the screen. And today I'm going to read a lot. I'm going to read verses 21 through 31, 11 verses here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Bless you. Starting with verse number 21. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul to the people at the churches in Galatia under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. And let's pray. Father, a lot going on here in these 11 verses, and Father, we want to learn the points that Paul wants to make, not only to the people at the churches in Galatia, but to us also, Lord. So, Father, may the scripture speak to us, and may it transform us from the inside out. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today, we're going to continue in this expository study of the book of Galatians, and this is message number 32, and I have titled today's message, The Free Woman, the exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in verse number 22. There are many people today who know very little or do not want to know anything about history. There are many people today who want to eliminate history. And there are many people today who want to rewrite history. There are some people who want to forget about the past and how we got to where we are today. And then there are some who want to put a different spin on history to be politically correct because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And then there's this other group who want to blame people today for what somebody's ancestors did hundreds of years ago. We may not be proud of certain historical events in American history. But what happened? Happened. No one can change that. We must learn from that. And we cannot change our own personal history either. Although sometimes we probably wish we could. But I hope we can all learn from our own successes and our own failures as we learn from the successes and failures of other people. Likewise, in the church, there are many Christians who want to totally dismiss the Old Testament. They say it has no relevance for us New Testament people today. Okay, in their favor, I will agree we are not under the Mosaic Law any longer, and we are New Testament people under the covenant of grace. Jesus has become our sacrifice of atonement. And personally, I would rather preach from the New Testament than the Old Testament. But as Christians, we cannot eliminate the Old Testament and not speak about it as if it never happened. The Old Testament, beginning with Genesis chapter 12, is the history of God's chosen people and the beginning of his plan of salvation. It's the history of those people that we would call the Hebrews, or they are called the Israelites, or they are called the Jews. They're God's chosen people. And the bottom line question that Paul is proposing to the Galatians in these 11 verses is this: do you want to be free, or do you want to be a slave? One brings eternal life, freedom, and the other eternal damnation, slavery. Who do you want to follow, Galatians? Do you want to follow Jesus and him alone who brings freedom? Or would you rather follow the law which brings slavery and damnation? And to make his point in these 11 verses, the Apostle Paul gives the people of Galatia a history lesson, a lesson on how the Jewish nation began. Why would he want to do this? Well, for two reasons. Number one, because there are always valuable learning lessons in knowing history. I believe we talked about that earlier. And reason number two, because it is something they need to know, and we need to know and remember and understand about faith and about God's promises. Most of you know I'm a YouTube junkie. I'll admit that. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. One of the channels that I subscribe to is a guy who calls himself the History Guy. He's a little guy who really knows his very obscure history, things that you wouldn't have learned back in school. And he wears this little bow tie, and every one of his segments are about 10 minutes long, but in every segment he always says this, and I quote, "Because history needs to be remembered." And it does. History needs to be remembered. And this morning we're going to take a look at this history lesson that Paul is teaching to the Galatians. And perhaps we too will learn a little bit more about faith and promises and some biblical history. He starts by giving them a choice: free or slave. And in these 11 verses, he will be making four historical comparisons to these choices. And we're going to review this history. And this history will fall under one of these categories. Either it's part of freedom or it's part of slavery. So let's go back and let's look at some Genesis history. Let's start by reading Genesis 15, verses 2 through 4. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram also said, since you have given me no son, one who has been born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man, meaning Eliezer, will not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, the nation Israel. And the heir of his promise, of God's promise, would be fathered physically by Abraham. However, this presents a little problem, because both Abraham and his wife Sarah are beyond childbearing years. Let's move on. Genesis 16, 1 through 4. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. Instead of relying on the sovereignty and the promises of God, Sarah decides to make this whole thing happen her way, to a very complying Abraham. And we know that this woman, Hagar, has a child, and this child's name is Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael is born. Let's move on. It's getting a little more interesting. Genesis 18, 9 through 14. Then they being the Lord who appeared in bodily form with a couple angels, then they said to him, where is your wife Sarah? And he said, there in the tent. He said, I will certainly return to you at this time next year, and behold, your wife Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, am I to have pleasure, my Lord being old also? But the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I actually give birth to a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. The promise that God is making, the promise of the path of salvation, is only going to go through one woman. And that woman is going to be Sarah. Yes, she's old in age, and so is Abraham. But is anything too difficult for the Lord? One last verse of history. Genesis 21, 1 through 3. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Sarah does conceive and has a son, and they name him Isaac. God's promise has been fulfilled. And in these short verses here, and there's a lot more to it if you want to go back and read Genesis, but this is the history of the birth of the nation Israel. It begins with Abraham being chosen by God, and then he will be a father of a great nation, Israel, God's chosen people. And then the promise begins from there. And the path of salvation will flow from there. And the cry of freedom will be found in there. So now we know a little bit of the history. We probably already knew this story anyways. So let's look at the four points that the Apostle Paul is making in our scripture text today and place them in the correct category. And what Paul is saying is that their salvation, the salvation of the Galatians and us, rests on which one of these two paths one decides to take. One may choose the path of freedom, or you can choose the path of slavery. So let's look at some scripture verses from today's reading, and let's fill in some blanks. Galatians 4:22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman." So the comparison Paul is making here is that the path of salvation is between either a free woman or a bond woman. So let's fill in those blanks. It's going to be pretty obvious. Freedom is with Sarah. Slavery is with Hagar. Sarah represents freedom, and Hagar represents the bondwoman, which will be slavery. Now, let's go back, look at that same verse again. "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman." The next comparison that Paul is making is the path of salvation is going to be with the sons that these two women are going to bear. And I think we all know what those names are. Under freedom, we have Sarah, who bears Isaac. Under slavery, we have Hagar, and she bears Ishmael. Now, let's go to our third comparison from Galatians 4:23. "But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise." The next comparison that Paul is making with the path of salvation is between how these two women conceived their sons. So let's place those two words in their proper category. Under freedom, we have Sarah, Isaac, and the promise. Under slavery, we have Hagar, Ishmael, born by the flesh. The promise represents freedom, while the flesh represents slavery. And I hope we can all understand, we're going to take a little time right here to understand the importance of these two words that Paul is using. Let me explain. The promise is by faith, and the flesh is by works. Sarah believed the promise made by God could never be fulfilled through her. Sarah was thinking, "I'm too old. This can't happen." So what did she do? She manipulated a child to be born in her attempt to fulfill the promise on her terms. So that's why Ishmael was a child born by the flesh, by a work of Sarah, instead of born by the promise of God. Likewise, in salvation, it is by faith that we believe the promises of God concerning the finished work of Jesus Christ, obviously. On the other side of that coin, it is by our good works and our obedience to the law that we falsely believe that we will inherit eternal life. And we know that this whole letter of Galatians is about being justified by faith, and faith alone, and not by works, by the promise, and not by the flesh. So let's look at our final comparison that Paul makes in these verses. And we get that from Galatians 4:25-26. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. The final comparison that Paul makes with the path to salvation is between the physical place at that time that represents these two women. So where do these words go? And let's look at the final fill in the blank with our chart here. Under freedom, Paul talks about the Jerusalem from above. And under slavery, he talks about Mount Sinai. Jerusalem, from above, freedom, Mount Sinai, slavery. Again, I'm going to take just a little bit of time to explain these because these two terms are very significant in the point that Paul is trying to make. The Jerusalem from above, I think we can figure that one out, is going to be the new Jerusalem that will be coming down out of heaven when there is a new heaven and a new earth. And by faith, by the promise, it will be the place where all believers are going to enjoy eternity. Praise the Lord. But the other, Mount Sinai, it represents, he said, the present Jerusalem. And what was the condition of the present Jerusalem? It was under bondage of the law. People thought that they were going to be saved by their obedience to the law. But he compares it to Mount Sinai. And I think it's a good comparison. What happened at Mount Sinai? That's where the law was given to Moses by God. What do we know about the law? We know this, a previous Galatians lesson. The law never saves anybody. The law can only kill. The law can only make one realize that they come up short because none of us can obey and keep the entire law. And we talked about that in a previous message. But there's one more point that I'd like to make above and beyond this, which kind of applies to us today. And I'm going to bring this verse back up again. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Mount Sinai is in present-day Arabia, and it's the covenant of the flesh, which are all the descendants of Ishmael. We saw that chart. And that's why today, the descendants of Ishmael are called what? Arabs. They're called Arabs. You wonder where the Arab nation come from? It's from the descendants of Ishmael. Jews are the descendants of Isaac, and Arabs are the descendants of Ishmael. So, there's our Bible history lesson for today as presented by the Apostle Paul to the people in the churches of Galatia. And he did this because history needs to be remembered. So here's the question. Let's put that back up there again. Which path have you chosen? The path of slavery, where you determine your own path of salvation, like Sarah tried to determine how God's promise would be accomplished? Or the path of freedom, where we believe and we trust in the promises of God as are outlined in the Word of God? I think I know where all of you have making your choice. Tomorrow, here in the United States of America, we celebrate those who have given their lives for freedom. The freedom that we have for the people in this great country of the United States of America. And we appreciate their sacrifice. But let's not just take one day out of the year, but let's take every day out of the year to celebrate the one who sacrificed his life for the spiritual freedom that we have. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.